Hello, this is Jeff Buckley with the Two Roads and Two Destinies Ministries. We're in Genesis chapter 41, looking at the person of Joseph. Now, we left off, it's been quite some time since I've been with you. We left off with Joseph giving an interpretation of the baker for Pharaoh and the cupbearer of Pharaoh, telling them what their dreams meant while he was a, if you will, a trustee in the prison house of the Pharaoh. Now, if you remember, he got there because the man who had eventually purchased Joseph from the slave traders was told by his wife that Joseph had tried to rape her. We know in reality that Joseph didn't do this, but Potiphar, as his name was, didn't know this, so Joseph was thrown into prison. And if you remember back just a little bit farther, Joseph, how he got into the hands of the slave traders was his brothers had thrown him into a pit to kill him, actually. But they thought it's better to make a little money on the deal. So let's just throw him in this pit, and now that we've thrown him in it, we see slave traders, let's sell him. Well, you also remember that Joseph had at one time been the favorite of his father, and he had had some dreams. Joseph, like Daniel and several other men of the Old Testament, were those who both dreamed and interpreted dreams. And Joseph had dreamed as a young man of 11 sheaves of wheat falling down before him, which of course was his brothers. We can go back a few pages and read this. And this is why, for one reason, he says, "We were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose, and also stood upright, and behold, your sheaf stood round about, and made obeisance to my sheaf." Here he had dreamed that they had bowed down to him in a picture in his dream. It's interesting to notice that Joseph dreams this, and in the picture is sheaves, because whenever we come to the fulfillment of this dream, which it will happen, that has a lot to do with why they bow down to him. It has everything to do with grain. So that even in the telling of this dream, the interpretation of it is of great importance. I'm sure as his brothers look back at the end of their lives on their time discovering who their brother had became, they remembered this dream. And we're going to see here, Lord willing, this week, what happens. Now, back to our story. We're in chapter 41. Joseph now has interpreted the dream, and the chief butler lives, and the baker dies, and the chief butler forgot Joseph. Joseph had said to him, when you go back and you're restored, I want you to remember me to Pharaoh. Perhaps he was to get out of prison was on his mind. But of course, as is always, whenever we get our place back, whenever we get back into the place where we want to be, we forget the person who got us there. So many times this is true. How many times have we been overlooked? Perhaps you've been overlooked in the business world. Perhaps those people where you work have used your ideas, have used your dreams, if you will, to further their own end, and forget you when the time comes. Well, we can draw some encouragement from this. Joseph has never been forgotten by God. Now, at the end of 2 full years, Pharaoh dreamed. And behold, he stood by the river, and behold, there came up out of the river 7 well-favored kine or cows and fat flesh, and they fed in a meadow. And behold, 7 other kine came after them out of the river, ill-favored and lean flesh, and stood by the other kine upon the brink of the river. And the ill-favored and lean flesh kine did eat up the 7 well-favored and fat kine, so Pharaoh woke. Now notice here, Pharaoh is in a dream. And we already know from our story that Joseph has been one who is able to interpret dreams. Well, Pharaoh, now it's been 2 years since this butler has left the prison with Joseph. He has forgotten Joseph. And now Pharaoh has a dream. In verse 5, he says, chapter 41 of Genesis, "And he slept and dreamed a second time, and behold, 7 ears of corn came up upon one stalk, rank and good. And behold, 7 thin ears, and blasted with the east wind, sprung up after them. And the 7 thin ears devoured the 7 rank and full ears. And Pharaoh awoke, and behold, it was a dream." Now, before we go any farther, I'd like to say, you remember the dream of Joseph when the 11 sheaves bowed down to him in the field, representing his brothers. Here's where I was talking to you about grain coming back into the picture. So here in Pharaoh's dream, grain comes back into the picture. "Well, it came to pass in the morning," it says in verse 8, "that his spirit was troubled, and he sent and called for all the magicians of Egypt and all the wise men thereof. And Pharaoh told them his dream, but there was none that could interpret them unto Pharaoh." One thing about the wise men of Egypt and the magicians, they always failed. The magicians and wise men in Daniel's day failed. The magicians and wise men in the days of Moses failed. And the magicians and the wise men in Joseph's day failed. There was one psychic network that went out of business not long ago. I heard a fellow making a joke about it, and he said, "Looks like they would have seen it coming." Well, you know, these magicians and the wise men base all their information on things that they can gather from this world and from the spirit world, that is, demons. But none of these are as dependable as God. For when God speaks to his person, it's going to be 100% of the time, 100% right. Well, now that Pharaoh's had his dream and he's troubled, of course, the butler being close to him, verse 9, "Then spake the chief butler unto Pharaoh, saying, I do remember my fault this day. Pharaoh was wroth with his servants, and put me in ward in the captain of the guard's house, both me and the chief baker. And we dreamed a dream in one night, I and he. We dreamed each man according to the interpretation of his dream. And there was there with us a young man, a Hebrew, servant to the captain of the guard, and we told him, and he interpreted to us our dreams. To each man according to his dream he did interpret. And it came to pass, as he interpreted to us, so it was. Me he restored into mine office, and him he hanged." Now, finally, the butler remembers his sin, if you will. And at least this man can be said that he just forgot it. And he says, "I remember my faults this day." But he tells Pharaoh now that he knows somebody who can interpret dreams. And we see now that the gift that God is using in Joseph's life is going to come into play in a very real way. Verse 14 of Genesis 41. "Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon, and he shaved himself and changed his raiment and came in unto Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I have dreamed a dream, and there is none that can interpret it. And I have heard say of thee that thou canst understand and dream to interpret it. And Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, It is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace." Let's stop here for a second again. Here Pharaoh has heard that Joseph can interpret dreams, and he calls Joseph before him. And when Joseph comes before Pharaoh, it says, Joseph says, "It is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace." Joseph immediately recognized and brought it before Pharaoh that it was not in him to interpret the dream, but it was of God. God was the interpreter of dreams. It wasn't a question of Joseph versus the wise men or Joseph versus the magicians of Egypt. It was a question of the true and the living God versus those false gods of the nations and of the world. Whenever the gods of this world are challenged in the scriptures before God, you find that the God of the Philistines, Dagon, on his face, the stone statue of their false god, falls on its face before the Ark of the Covenant. You find that in the 10 plagues that Moses is used to bring down upon Egypt, that the gods of Egypt are judged by the true and living God. You find that whenever the interpretation of dreams comes through Daniel, and this is done, that again it is the true and the living God against these false gods. And now Joseph shows Pharaoh this is not a question of magicians or a question of wise men. It is the question of the true and the living God versus the false gods of this world. We ask today, why doesn't God judge these demons and devils and false gods of this world? God is long-suffering. And He will judge, and one day He has given us His word. But we see here that there's a proverb that says, a man's gift makes room for him. And Joseph's gift now has made room for him, even before Pharaoh. And we see him who was cast down into prison, him who was rejected by his brothers, him who was done away with by his family, now standing before Pharaoh. If you had asked Joseph a few years before this, if this could ever happen, he would have never dreamed it possible. But yet, here it is. Joseph standing before Pharaoh. Well, we'll have to stop here, and we'll pick up at verse 17 of Genesis chapter 41 next time we're together, Lord willing. Goodbye.
Thank you, Jeff. And thank you for listening. We hope you'll be with us again tomorrow and the rest of the week, 1 o'clock, as Jeff continues in Genesis with the character of Joseph. If you have any comments or questions, please feel free to call us this week at 879-5695.